spiritual attitude in order to handle it, or otherwise they'll destroy themselves, and we're on the brink of letting our technology outstrip our spirituality at the present time.
Well, I must say that open mind is a big help in getting away from that, Bill.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
All right,
bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Say, we have a special bulletin from General Motors. We have Pat on the line. Hello, Pat.
Hello, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have an idea for you and Mr. Slade.
Mm-hmm.
It's a suggestion. Speaking about these little men, you know, that are found in the UFOs,
mm-hmm.
the 4 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my idea is that these are clones. They are all alike.
Because there's several categories of occupants that have been mentioned in the literature. One of them is the 4 foot tall pilot with a humanoid appearance, and these are clones, and they seem to be the worker bees or the lower echelon occupants.
Now, well, I believe this is true because every time I have read so many accounts of these clones, as I call them, because there's always a mothership that seems to be hovering somewhere in the vicinity.
Well, just as there are several categories of occupants, there are several categories of vehicles. You have the scout ship, which is about a 30-foot diameter ship. There are also ships that are running around 600 feet in diameter.
Yes.
And then there are motherships, which can be as much as a mile long, and they're generally cylindrical. And these have all been photographed, and the photographs exist. In fact, I have in the studio a photograph of a mothership, which is very large, and you can see scout ships coming out of the mothership like pennies out of a roll of pennies.
Oh, this I believe.
You know, these things have been photographed in several places at several different times in the last decade or two, and the pictures are consistent. So, yes, there are different vehicles and different creatures. And in an attempt to categorize the vehicles, the House of Representatives put out the Rausch Report, and I have it, a page of it before me, which has... About 90 different profiles or shapes of vehicles, and this report was very much in demand and hard to come by these days. But the cataloging of this phenomena still is going on, trying to determine how many different types there are, and there are quite a number.
Does that help you now, Pat? Oh, okay, she's gone. Say, Bob Monroe, best known for his book Journeys Out of the Bible, published out of the body, published worldwide, be my guest for 3 hours on Saturday, December 1st, and I do hope you'll join Bob and I. Some of his topics of discussion will be the expansion of consciousness, his tape program, the Gateway Weekend Workshop, also out-of-body experiences, of course, and Bill is very interested in that. Bob Monroe has developed a series of tapes utilizing HemiSync, which is short for hemispheric synchronization. Now, these tapes and this technique offer much promise and potential for you, aiding the individual to use more of his brain power. These tapes are available for sale and home use. The HemiSync tapes form the basis for the Gateway Weekend Workshop. Participants in the workshop experience tape exercises and share in group discussions, all aiding them to develop, to explore, and to apply expanded states of consciousness. The next three-day Gateway Workshop is December 7th, 8th, and 9th. For more information on the tapes or on the workshop, call area code 213-393-9405. Let me give you that number again. It's an important one for you. Area code 213-393-9405. Recommend that to you highly. And I certainly hope you're here December 1st when Bob Monroe is my guest, sitting right here in the studio, and we'll get into all of these things. Yeah.
Bill, I think in our three-hour program, I think you and I have barely scratched the surface of the subject, And I think now your listeners can see what a vast, vast area this is. I'd like to mention something before our time runs out, and that is something that's been occupying my mind, and it has to do with a chapter in the Bible concerning the Tower of Babel. If you remember, the people on earth united to build in the original language, a Shem to the sky. Now, the Shem is translated in the King James Version as a tower. There's some modern scholarship going on that says that a Shem was a rocket ship, and that the item that the Babylonians were constructing was a rocket to escape the earth and challenge the authority of Jehovah in the sky. And for that reason, if you recall the account, Jehovah came down and confounded the languages of the workmen so that they could not understand each other's language. Now, historically, we know that all the languages that sprung from that time and place are known today as the Indo-European languages. And the Indo-European languages number about 26. And they all have some similarities. Although they were confounded one to another, there's some words that are common, like mother and father or mama and papa, are pretty common throughout those languages and that group of languages. But something that's never been discussed, as far as I know, is that there's a curiosity in the confusion of the languages. Something remained that was common to all 26 of them. And I'd like to point it out to your audience because it's something to think about, because Jehovah takes credit for this, and it's something that's very curious. Basically, if you take three words out of all the Indo-European languages on earth, take the three words, the word for not, the word for night, and the word for eight, you will find a very curious relationship. That if you take the word not and the word eight and unite them by crossing out the OT from not and the E from eight, you come up with the word night. Not eight. Join the two words, cross out the OT and the E, and you come out with night. Mm-hmm. Now, that's very curious, but if you do it in German, you get nein, acht. When you cross out the E-I-N and the N, you get Nacht, and that is the word for night. And so on, in French, it's non and huit, and you come out with nuit. And it works for 26 different languages. Now, the question is that when the languages were confounded, did Jehovah put a riddle in there? And what is the answer to the riddle that not eight equals night? That riddle is throughout all those languages. It's been a puzzle, and a lot of people are curious as to what it means.
So am I. What?
And if you think that this is an example of extraterrestrial interference in human affairs, you might be right. Again, it might be just an accident. And you have to decide by keeping an open mind.
Really a strange number of tales that come out of those ancient times in our history, and what we would call the Caucasian history, that grew out of the Tigris, Euphrates Valley, that area. There is another story that the Gladdens put forth. We'll just go ahead and touch on that as our time is running very, very short, that the way that the language was confounded, not necessarily by Jehovah, but by alien beings that had been here for a while and were very, very involved in the development of man, was that the water was affected in such a way that it created a disease that we all know about. That's rather common in the hospitals, where you absolutely forget language as it's spoken to you. And we do see that happening even now, and they know how to treat that. But if the water was treated in such a way that where people would forget the language as soon as they spoke it, we'd have all kinds of problems.
Well, as you know, my laser company keeps me active, and I wanted to pass this one on to you. There's been some experiments very recently that if you take a laser beam, which is modulated to carry a voice signal, mm-hmm. and you shine that laser beam on the brain surface of a deaf person, somebody who's clinically deaf because of the destruction of the auditory nerve, he can hear a conversation carried on by a modulated laser beam, a light beam shining on his brain. Now, if you can hear communications from light, maybe you can hear communications in your brain from other electromagnetic channels.
Well, we're beginning to understand that our five senses are just a part of our sensory makeup, a small part of it. And that's it. Thank you very much, Ed, for joining us tonight on Open Mind. We invite you to listen next week when Larry Fawcett will be here. We'll continue the UFO story and why it's being covered up. See you next week.